Chapter 2. Colorless. Summary. Having a soulmate is not always as wonderful as everyone says, especially if you have never actually met him before. Warnings. Implied reference child abuse, presumed character death, mentioned canon character death. The day Clint first started to notice a difference was a day like any other. There was nothing special about it. They didn't even have a new artist or guest performer in their show. It was just one of many days they spent with their tent and carnival setup on the meadow in Central Park. But maybe that was what's special about it. The fact that there was nothing out of the ordinary going on and that Clint still noticed the first changes in his life. The very first thing Clint noticed happened a few minutes after the gates opened for guests. He was 15 years old and sitting atop one of the many steel beams holding the tent up, watching the crowd stream into the circus from above, where he had the best view of them. Hawkeye had always liked it up high. He had always liked sitting above the chaos, somewhere where no one would look for him, somewhere where it didn't matter that he couldn't hear with shit anymore and that he was different than most other kids his age. It was the place he felt safest, the place where he felt most like himself, even on the days when everything about himself felt wrong and foreign. That day, for the first time, Clint didn't feel safe up high. For one second to the next, a feeling of danger, a fear that he normally only knew when he was on the ground and surrounded by men stronger than him, went through him at seeing the distance between himself and the ground. For a moment, the time it took to take a few breaths, Clint felt dizzy, grabbing onto the metal bars of the scaffold under his fingers and pressing his eyes shut to get the world to stop spinning. The feeling vanished just as quickly as it had come, leaving Clint confused and almost as scared to stay up above as he was to climb back down and face the people that were making his life a living hell. Despite the tears in his eyes and the fact that his hands were shaking, Clint stayed, tilting his head up at the sky and taking a few controlled breaths to calm his nerves. When Clint looked down, the world was different. It was more vibrant, more exciting, and more overwhelming at the same time. It took the young archer until after the show to realize that somehow, somewhere, he had gotten close enough to his soulmate to set off their bond, to fill his world with color, and to build a connection between them. It was a connection that meant that as long as they were close enough together, Clint and his soulmate could feel each other's emotions and share each other's dreams and fears, intuitions and ambitions. The connection didn't last for long. The most superficial impressions of Clint's mate faded the same night as the guests left the circus and the carnival behind, and even the deepest emotions, including that fear of heights Clint had never known before, faded into nothing as they left New York City and a few weeks later, even the state. The only thing Clint was left with was a world filled with color and the knowledge that somewhere out there there was a person he was connected with in a unique way. Almost a year later, about a month after the circus had left their winter camp, Clint's world changed again. This time, it started in the middle of an afternoon show. Clint had just finished his main act and was in the back, checking his arrows and bow, when he was hit with a wave of debilitating pain that let him stumble back and gasp for air. They were across the country, far away from New York, but Clint could feel the connection as strong as the day it had first started. The pain, as bad as it was just the beginning. It was followed by flashes of light and dark, of the world vanishing in front of his eyes and reappearing a heartbeat later, until finally it got darker around the edges and the color and vibrancy vanished as if it were burnt away. Clint collapsed on the rubber mats covering the floor, gasping for air and clinging to anything he could find to ground himself within this reality that had just changed. Clint knew what this meant. He knew that there was only one explanation for this, only one reason why someone lost their ability to see the world in color after a connection had originally been made. Clint's soulmate was dead. It wasn't surprising as much as Clint had expected it. Somehow, deep down. There had never been a person in Clint's life that he didn't end up losing. He wasn't surprised that his soulmate was no exception from the rule. No. The young Connie was more disappointed than surprised. He was disappointed because, this time, he didn't even get the chance to meet the special person in his life before he lost them again. He was disappointed because some part of him dared to hope that maybe He got lucky this time. It was almost two decades later that Clint learned how wrong he had been. 18 years later, after Clint's world had once again turned grey, his life had changed in every aspect. He was no longer an outcast between outcasts. He was no longer the carny everyone else used as a punching bag, and as of a few days ago, Clint wasn't even just the agent that had been dragged in from the street anymore. He was one of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s highest-ranking assets. He was the one that got picked to assist in the most delicate and dangerous mission. Coulson and Fury trusted him. They trusted him, even after he had been brainwashed and joined the very enemy they were fighting. They trusted him, even after he had killed agents and endangered not just the mission they were on, but the entire world with actions that weren't his own. Fury trusted Clint, even after the first man who had ever trusted him was dead, killed in an opportunity that had only existed because Clint had failed to resist. The team Fury and Coulson had built trusted him enough to fight by his side as they went up against the very enemy that had used him before. It was a fight that, for the first time in many years, brought Clint back to New York City. It brought him back to the very city where the connection with his soulmate had first been established. Clint didn't think about his soulmate anymore. He knew it was futile, and even though he couldn't forget about that connection, Clint had pushed the memories of it down, as far as they would go, locked them away in the deepest, darkest corner of his mind. He didn't think about this mysterious person that could have changed his life forever as he descended over the city in this new, patched-together team of misfits, the Avengers. He didn't think about them as the team worked out a plan, as they took their positions around Stark Tower and as they waited for their signal to join the fight. Clint didn't think about it until he was standing at the edge of a building, looking down, and for the first time in 18 years, the emotion it caused in him was fear instead of familiar safety. He didn't think about them until instincts that weren't his own helped guide him through this fight, until anger that didn't come from Loki messing with his mind, but from the city he had no connection with being destroyed, balled up in his chest. Hawkeye didn't think about his soulmate until there was a dream of a better world that he hadn't thought about in a very long time aching in his chest, and the world seemed different, even if it was still just as colorless as it had been just hours before. Maybe Clint had been wrong about his soulmate. "I spent 18 years thinking you were dead, you know," Clint muttered, years later as he was lying spread out in a bed somewhere in Hell's Kitchen with the man he had missed long before they even really met. "After you lost your sight and I lost that last bit that I have left of our bond, I thought you were dead." He traced his hand over Matt's chest, feeling the many different scars that were cut into his skin. "It was the only thing that made sense." "I'm sorry," Matt answered. He was trailing his hand through Clint's hair and had the other loosely rested around Clint's waist. "I wish there could have been a way to find you. I wish we could have met that day, but there were so many people there, and I didn't know you were one of the carnies until it was already too late." He sighed, brushing a kiss on Clint's head. "I thought I had lost you forever." "I'm here now." Clint pushed himself up, leaning over Matt and softly cupping his face. "And I'm not going to let you out of my sight ever again." Matt smiled softly for a moment, his unfocused gaze resting somewhere between Clint's head and the ceiling. "I'm sorry about that fear of heights, by the way," he chuckled after a moment of mutual silence. "I know up high is always where you felt safest." "I feel safest when I'm with you, darling," Clint purred, stroking a strand of hair back and brushing a kiss on Matt's lips. "I don't need to be up high for that." Author's note about this universe. Clint and Matt are soulmates. A person can see color once they've met their soulmate. When soulmates are close enough, they share emotion, dreams, fears, etc. Clint can't see color because Matt is blind. They're both trans, just because. Clint and Matt met randomly at the circus, but never actually interacted. Until they met at some point as Hawkeye and Daredevil, there's no difference to the MCU other than soulmates existing.